turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. If you have, there's notes in your worship folder. Through the Bible app, you can now link yourself to our church through the YouVersion Bible app, and it has a post that brings up all the different things for the service. Now, I may be telling on myself a bit here, whether that be my age or whatever, but I don't believe, but maybe some of you have the same gift that I do, and that is the gift of losing things. Mike, thank you. Thank you. It could be anything. Maybe you're like me. At some point, you've set down your keys, your wallet, your remote, and it's always, I always set it right here. But when I go back there to get those things, they're not there. I mean, maybe you're like me that you spend way too much time trying to find your glasses. I mean, way too much time trying to find glasses that only to find that they were on the top of your head. Have you ever spent time trying to find your phone? All the while you're searching for it and you're talking to somebody on it. Have you ever been there? Thank you, it's not just me. Now, we can all laugh at different things that we sometimes lose and misplace. Sometimes it's not physical things that we lose. Sometimes it's not as funny because it's much more personal in those things of loss. Maybe you've experienced an emotional loss. Maybe it's a time that you've lost your peace in the midst of an incredibly complicated world. Maybe you've lost a sense of purpose or sense of that who you believe you were supposed to be. Maybe that you've lost a relationship with someone because, you know, you felt like that you needed to share something that you thought was really important that they know. And out of that, you've lost them. Maybe you've lost the trust in someone that at one point was really close to you. Maybe it's that you, at one point, you were just full of joy and happiness, but you've lost that, or you've lost your spiritual passion or intimacy with God. Regardless, in some aspect, somewhere, at some point, you've lost something. And you've experienced that loss. Reason I bring that up is because we're wrapping up this series on the prophet Elisha today. Kind of wish it was going longer. But we're going to look at a really short story. It's only 7 verses long in chapter 6. It tells a story of this little quirky miracle that happens that really points out and illustrates an important principle for us. And this principle is this: our God is a good and loving God who specializes in restoring that which was lost. Because we serve a God who's the God of restoration, and God can help us find what we didn't mean to lose. So today we're going to look at this miracle that I admit might make us think, okay, well, that's kind of cool, God. But why? Why is this story here? And maybe it's because it's here because it's not always the big battles that break us, But it's the combination of all these little losses along the way that start to pile up throughout our life that we thought didn't matter until suddenly they do. Sometimes suddenly they become too much, in fact. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, we find Elisha was working with a group of young prophets. And it's a community that they've built, and they've come together, and it appears that at this point, this group, at least in this location, has grown so much that they have outgrown the space that they meet in. And so they come to Elisha and say, hey, we need to do something about it. And they get his permission and they go off into this area. And it says in verse 3 that they want to go down by the Jordan River. And so they get all the engineering plans together. They meet with the city and they do all the different things and get all their permits. That's there for you, Brent. Oh, how we've made so much things so easy. And they go down to the river and they start harvesting timber. They start harvesting trees in the midst to build this new place. It says in verse 5 that one of them was cutting a tree and his axe head fell into the river. And he said, oh my Lord, it's a flatbed Ford. No. Sorry, I couldn't not say that one. It says, oh my Lord, it was borrowed. So Elisha asks, well, where did it fall? And it says that he showed him the place, and get this, Elisha cut a stick, threw it into the water, and the axe head floated, and it just simply says, and the man picked it up, or lifted it out. That's it. That's the story. I guess we can dismiss now, right? And I admit, I read this kind of story, and like I said, I kind of wonder why in some ways. It's a cool story for sure, but what when compared with some of the miracles that have happened just before this, I mean, in chapter 2, we see God use Elisha to part the Jordan River by slapping the cloak on it. And they walk through in dry ground. Could have done that, wouldn't have had to make it float. In chapter 3, in chapter 2 again, it says that he purifies water in Jericho so that they could drink it. In chapter 3, he provides water out of nowhere to the armies that we shared that story. In chapter 4, God uses Elijah to provide for a widow with oil. And he also, in the next story in chapter 4, raises a dead boy back to life. In chapter 5, Elisha heals a leper. So why is it important in chapter 6 to see an axe head float? Seems pretty minor in comparison. But I think the thing is that sometimes the smallest miracle can carry the biggest message. By that, let me explain. In the 9th century, roughly, when this was happening, iron is extremely rare, and it's very expensive. Most people couldn't even come close to affording their own axe head. Now, we just go to the store, but at this point, it's not that simple. So this young prophet likely has borrowed. It says that he's borrowed it, but he's not just borrowed it. He borrowed it from someone that's wealthy, of prominence, of power. And if you remember at this time, if you owed or lost something, a creditor could come and claim you or your kids as slaves until the price of that is repaid. So losing an axe head isn't just losing an axe head, it's It's an embarrassing thing, yes, but more importantly, it's a serious debt that is going to take life and resource away from this prophet. It's a big deal. And so when God makes this axe head float, it's reminding us that God cares about the details of your life. I mean, think about it, that our God, who rules over the nations and kings, who sees you and loves you more than you could ever know or imagine, cares about what you care about. That same God that cared enough to make an axe head float cares about the migraines that you deal with. That same God who made this axe head float cares about the anxiety that you can't even put words to right now on how it makes you feel. That same God that cares about the details of this prophet's life cares about what matters to you. So as we acknowledge that, I want to ask you a question. What have you lost that God can restore? What's something that meant something to you once that you don't have right now? And to be clear, I want to say this as gently as I can. I'm not talking about a permanent loss, as in losing a loved one. That's a whole different prayer request that we do pray for healing about. But I want you to think about something that you lost that God can still restore. Maybe you lost a relationship with someone over a disagreement. Be careful, it's Thanksgiving. You just thought they needed to hear it, and now you don't even talk to them anymore. Maybe you've lost your joy and cynicism has taken its place. Some have lost the respect of someone in their family because they didn't done something that they can't undo. Some have lost a sense of peace of mind or a sense of God's presence in their life. Maybe you've lost the hope that you had for the future. Some of you at one point, man, you were on fire for God. You were sensitive to God's spirit. You were seeking God and His word and making a difference in the world, serving in the church, and now it just feels like you've lost that spiritual passion. Maybe you've lost a sense of urgency to share your faith or your drive to live into God's holiness. And what I want to remind you is that our God specializes in restoration of what's lost. Our God can help us find what you didn't mean to lose. And if you're wondering how He does that, there's two different things I see in this story. The first is this: if you lost something, be honest about where you lost it. That's the first thing that happens. And Elisha asks this young prophet, where did it fall? Where'd you lose it? Where'd you last see it? It's the question my wife always asks. And he asked it because recovery starts with honesty. We need to be honest about when you lost it, how you lost it, or why you lost it. Maybe you might say, well, I lost my way when I got into a relationship or developed a friendship that instead of sharpening me in the ways of the Lord, it pulled me away into things that were destructive. Because Scripture is really clear that bad company corrupts good character. So maybe you lost your way when you entered in a relationship that you knew you shouldn't have. Maybe you might say, well, I lost my freedom when a secret sin in my life and a habit took control. Or I lost a peace of mind when I held on to a grudge or a hurt. Or when I continued to hate or I let bitterness overcome my soul instead of releasing it and forgiving it and giving it to God in his power. You may say, I lost my joy when I let comparison take over, when I started always wondering, well, why them and why not me? And all of a sudden, we've lost that joy because we aren't seeking God, because we're dissatisfied with what we didn't have or don't have, where we're not, and who they are, and why we can't be in their place. You might say, well, I lost my intimacy with God when I stopped making space to hear his voice, when I stopped seeking him early and letting his word renew my mind and conform me to the image of his son, when I stopped calling on him, when I stopped letting him direct my steps, when I stopped using the gifts that he's given me to make a difference in the life of others. And through all of that, all of a sudden, life has become about me. And I stopped seeking and serving him. So we need to be honest of where we lost it, when you lost it, why you lost it. Because it starts with honesty. So admit it, name it, claim it, confess it. Then with God's help and faith, take back what you lost. Let God restore it, because God is a God of restoration, which is why in verse 6 we see that when the prophet showed Elisha that place and he cut that stick and the axe head floated, what did he do? He told him, lift it out. And it says that the man reached out his hand and took it. And the point is that God will make it float, but you have to lift it out, because sometimes God wants you to participate in the miracle. The gospel, we see this with Jesus over and over. He says, stretch out your hand, wash off the eyes, pick up your mat. Sometimes he wants us to participate in that particular miracle of restoration. In other words, only God can send the rain, but sometimes he wants you to dig a ditch. Sound familiar? Only God can multiply the oil, but sometimes he needs you to gather the empty jars. Only God can make the axe head float, but your job is to lift it out of the water. And that's why I want to tell you that God can help and will help you find what you didn't mean to lose, but be prepared. I'm going to give you a warning here, that the devil is the father of the lies. And so the moment that you begin to step out in faith to pick up that axe head, whatever that is that you've lost, that God is trying to restore in your life, the father of lies will start to step in with fear and speak those lies into your life and try to tell you, well, it's too late, you're too bad, you're too far gone. You can never get it back. You'll never be happy. Never be on fire for God again. You'll never make a difference. And I want to remind you and tell you that with God, it's never too late. Our God is a good God. The same God that oversees the nations and kings sees you and cares about you. Our God is the God of restoration. And Scripture says over and over and over that he is the God of grace and all power. That God who is present, the God who knows all things, he has not forsaken us. And he will restore you, make you firm, strong, and steadfast. And I'll say it, and I know you've heard me say it before. If you're not dead, you're not done. So hear this. With God, you can still be the person that God has called you to be. It's not too late. With God's grace and by his grace, you can still have and experience what God wants you to have and experience. You haven't gone too far. You haven't failed too much to get back where you didn't mean it, what you didn't mean to lose. And that's why Elisha's story is so powerful. because it's not, it's more than just a string of miracles. It's an ongoing story of faith. It's a life of obedience and faith as he trusts in the power and the promises of God, even as just a simple farmer boy that left the plow. He put his faith in the goodness of God and said, I'm fully in. And he realized in a God and recognized a God that cared about what he cared about. In the same way, if we're willing to trust God and to put our faith in the goodness of God, we'll recognize that our God cares about what we care about. And when we put our faith in God, he can help us find what we didn't mean to lose. It's not just Elisha's story. It's our story. It's the story of the gospel. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. God sent his son on a rescue mission for you and me. Jesus didn't just come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. He didn't come just for those who were healthy. He came for those who were broken and sick. He came for people like me. People like you. Those who are lost, desperate, hurting, who can't find our way out. I recognize that there may be someone here today, and I want you to know you're not here by accident, that God is drawing himself to you and you to himself because he loves you and he cares about you. He cares enough to have sent his son to die on the cross, to take our sins upon himself, to take what was broken, what was shameful, and Jesus died in our place. And through his resurrection, what the enemy tried to bury, God raised back to life. And so today I want to give you the hope and share with you hope that if you're hurting, if you've lost something, I want to remind you that it's not too late. What did you lose? Where did you lose it? Why did you lose it? Maybe the question is, what are the enemies trying to steal from you? Because God can restore what was broken, and God can rebuild what was lost. The enemy may try to steal it, but our God can restore it because that's who our God is. It's the God who brings back what you thought was gone, the God who will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. So it's time to lift it up, take it back, and give God the glory. Because recognize your story matters to God. And as we share our story of, you know, like I've said over and over, I once was blind, but now I see. We give God the glory for restoration. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you today. God, I admit I was lost, that I was trying to do it on my own. I was struggling, and you rescued me. In my own private life, I had lost you, and you've restored me. You've given me hope and a future. You've given me eternal life as long as I continue to put my faith and trust in you. And so we give you the glory today, Lord. For those that have lost something, we ask for restoration. For those that are struggling, we recognize that you are the only way to the Father. That you will show us the way as long as we obediently follow you and seek you in all things. And so we give you thanks, Lord, for your Son, that he is resurrected and is coming back. That we will celebrate with you one day, because you've given us the hope and understanding that you are God and we are not. And so in this we pray and give you thanks. Amen.